gives me great pleasure to do, to introduce the one and only Rob. Come on up, bud.
First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. Everyone in this room has definitely inspired me and made me as much as I can be sober today, because tomorrow's another day. But I couldn't do it without you. And I want to thank God for bringing me into this fellowship. I've learned so much in so little time. And I can't wait to share it to with newcomers.
Who might you be, Rob?
Oh, I'm Rob, and I am an alcoholic. So, everyone has a story. And so I'm going to try to do my story in around 10 minutes. It's not a very great story. It's not filled with a lot of things, but it's my story, and I like to share it. As a child, I was brought up in a European-style family, and so I started drinking red wine at 11 years old, and that was it on Sunday nights, and that was just something that was expected in my household. My parents drank on and off, but my mother's parents died of alcoholism, and I never saw them. I never met her parents. That really kind of put a damper when I got older, because I saw my dad's parents a lot, and they weren't alcoholics, and so it was kind of interesting. But our family is filled with alcoholics, and I truly believe the actual relationship that I had with my family promoted that kind of behavior, not in a bad way, but because they could control it, except a few of them. Now, coming up to that, when I got into my teenage years, I'm originally from Cheyenne, Wyoming. There's not much to do in Cheyenne, Wyoming, except shooting guns and drinking beer. And so when I was in my teens, that's what we would do, go out to the backwoods and drink beer and shoot guns and have a heck of a time. College came around, I went to University of Wyoming for 2 years, and I basically, I studied partying and working. And I was working, I wasn't going to class, I didn't really want to make it, an effort. Luckily, I come from an education family, so I could read something and I can retain it. So I wasn't failing or anything like that, but man, I did not want to be an accountant. I didn't want to be a communications major. I didn't want to be a biologist or anything like that. So then I decided to tell my parents, guess what? I'm going to go to culinary school. That went over like crap because they're both educators. My dad was a part-time professor at the University of Wyoming, so telling him that I'm not going to go to the school that he represents. Yeah. So they said, well, we are paying for your tuition here, so if you decide to go somewhere else, we're not going to help you. And I thought to myself, well, that's crap, because both of my sisters were valedictorians. They got free rides. Yeah, so there I am, the problem child. I was a mistake, and my mom had no problem saying that throughout the years. And having said that, it really put me against the odds of having a great family life. So I decided on my own, I said, well, guess what? I'm gonna go to culinary school and I don't need your help. Again, didn't go over very well, but I did go to culinary school in Scottsdale, and I was working a full-time job and a part-time job and going to school full-time. I did it by myself, I paid my own loans off, I got great jobs, I had great experiences. For my externship, I went to Hawaii, and throughout this entire process of being my own self, man, that liquor was awesome. I mean, gosh, we didn't even need an excuse to go out. Oh, you got an A on the test? Great. Oh, you got an F? Well, let's go and have. That's cool. So the industry that I was in, I knew it was going to be Party Central anyway, and I was up for that. I was in my 20s. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go work my butt off, go and get hammered, wake up and feel like crap, and go back to work. And I did that for 15 years at least. But some of the big things that I accomplished in not following what my parents wanted me to do is I worked for the Ritz-Carlton for over 9 years, and I was on a task force. So what that means is I was a chef that would be flown to different locations, and we would reopen or open new Ritz-Carltons. And that was phenomenal because I had all kinds of, like, I'd lay in their bedrooms. I was their guinea pigs. We had anything we wanted. So we would get the reference sheet, like what we want in our room. I'm like, bottle of Jameson, a six pack of Heineken. And that happened. And it was great. And we had such a great time. And it was a great experience. But again, I was more worried about the off time. That was controlling me. And the liquor, I just couldn't get enough of it. Then when I was about 25, 26, I was diagnosed with epilepsy. That was something that was not too big of a shock because my family has epilepsy in their family, in our family. So what I didn't realize is until lately, that detoxing can cause seizures. Well, I was already having seizures, so when I detoxed, I really had seizures, and that was really scary. But moving on, after culinary school, and I did my whole realm of things. I worked for mom and pops. I had a restaurant once. I now have a food truck still in operation. I worked for a while here in California as a chef, but I've changed my occupation, and so I have a new career. I'm 45 years old, and I have a new career, and I'm working with kids with autism, and it's so rewarding. It's a pleasure to go to work. I don't have to worry about that 6:30 rush or anything like that, staying late, having people not show up for work. So what made me change my occupation? Well, first of all, if I went back to what I was doing, I would have kept on drinking. I would have kept on drugging. I would have kept on being not the Rob that I know today. And so when I put my foot down halfway, my girlfriend helped me put the other foot down all the way and basically said, you really need to get help. And yeah, that didn't go over well because I was like, I can stop anytime I want. No problem. I got this. And to go back in the past just real quick, I was my own sponsor for 2 years. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. I was so irritable and discontent that it wasn't worth it. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start drinking again. But fast forwarding, I had a Saturday that I thought the world was gonna end. I mean, I was in a fight with my girlfriend. She was gonna go back to her ex-husband. My parents were mad. Job was totally stressful because I was working like 16, 18 hour days a day for 3 months. And every time I got out, I would drink. So one day, the day that I did get off, and my boss said, don't come to work at all, I'm like, okay, well, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna just walk around the town and I'm gonna see what it can give it to me. So I stopped at every liquor store on my 7 mile walk. And I drank those shooters like they were going out of style. And I called my sister, and my sister answered on FaceTime. And she goes, Rob, where are you? And I said, oh, I'm just walking around. She's like, you're hammered. Stay where you are, I'll come and get you. I'm just gonna go home and sleep it off. Don't even worry about it. Well, my last stop was at Albertsons, and I got a 6-pack of beer, or a 12-pack of beer, and a bottle of bourbon. I got home, my Sister called me one more time, didn't answer. I pounded some beers, half a bottle of bourbon, and I took a bunch of pills. I said, screw this life, I'm done. Yeah, let me tell you, the last time before I went to rehab, I saw my sister's eyes, and they were so full of tears, and because I was being taken out on a gurney. I ended up going to the hospital. I stayed for 2 weeks at Marion, and I was on suicide watch. I was 5150. And the question that the doctors and the psychologists always asked was, if we release you now, what are you going to do? And my answer was, I have no idea what I'm capable of. So they decided that I needed to go to a psych hospital. And man, I am so thankful for that now, because I actually learned a lot about myself through the psychologist and through just the program. That psych ward, that's another story. Wow, I didn't feel like I needed to be there because there were so many other people that I didn't even know what they were mad about. I mean, or happy about, or talking to, or whatever else. It was an experience. So I went to a 30-day at Crestwood program up there in Santa Barbara, and then I was going to try to transfer directly into the rehab that I had picked out. That didn't happen. I got released just before the holidays. So I stayed sober through the holidays, so I said, I think I can do this. And so I decided, this is it. I went to a three-month rehab down in Capistrano and started with primary sponsor. What the heck was that? Anyway, I went to meetings with him and everything like that. I got home. I found this fellowship. I found a great sponsor. He's taught me a lot, and I can't wait till he can teach me more because I can't wait to share it. But in this whole thing, and I think I'm probably up to my time. Pretty close. Yeah. I did have two DUIs. My first DUI was in Arizona. I was after a lot of shots and beers at the bar and then going to a housewarming party. Why not, right? I blew a 2.1. That was my first one. I spent 10 days in Tent City. My second one was in Connecticut. I blindsided a car on my street and called myself in because I didn't want to get a hit and run charge. They said, oh, go ahead and just jump in the back of the car. We'll finish the paperwork downtown. Okay. So I got in there and I blew a .09. So I was barely over. And I ended up going to prison for 61 days. That's a whole nother story. I don't have time to say that. But anyway, to conclude, I guess, for the most part, I was so stubborn. And I could not get it through my head that I needed help. It just wasn't going through my head. And I thought, this AA crap, I can do this by myself. And when I was in that 30-day program in Santa Barbara, I realized, no, I can't. No, not at all. My uncle couldn't do it. My other uncle couldn't do it. All my family that were alcoholics or now have been sober over 17 years. And so when they found out that I admitted that I'm an alcoholic, they opened up their arms. They said, good for you. They gave so much support to me. And when I found this fellowship and everyone in this fellowship, I know I'm home. And I appreciate everything that everyone has done for me, and I can't wait to give back. My name's Rob, and I'm an alcoholic.
All right, man. Let's give Rob another hand.